Welcome to Death Radio. I am Kat. This is the place where I introduce Japanese true crime cases. I have another show which is in Japanese, and I update the show weekly, but I haven't been able to work on this English version of Death Radio as often as the other one. So for this year's resolution, I want to make more episodes in English. So, welcome, Adam, to the show.
Hello, hello. I'm happy to be back again.
Yay. Thank you so much for encouraging me to do this again.
Yeah. I always enjoy coming on the show and getting to chat. So, yeah, I'm glad we're able to do this today.
Great. Felt bad for not updating this show for a while, for months.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, I update the Japanese show weekly, but this one takes a little more time. So I'm glad I talked to you last week and decided to start this again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think many people will be happy that you are.
Oh, thank you. So we need to talk about the event we did together.
Yeah, it was, I think, an excellent way to start the new year and get to meet some people. And yeah, all around, it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was something new for you to do, but
it was also
new for me as well. So,
so we did the pop-up shop, yeah?
Thanks to our friend Naru and Corner Printing and for letting us do it. And yeah, we were able to sell our Death Radio goods. And then I have a love for pro wrestling, especially Japanese pro wrestling. So I was able to sell some goods there as well. And Naru had some heavy metal, death metal.
Yeah.
It was a nice blend and combination of things for people to see. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah. It was, like you said, we had death metal and gore grind, pro wrestling, and true crime. And they go pretty well.
They do. Well, I was thinking about it after the event, how it's so interesting for me to meet people who like all three, but then it's also interesting for me to meet people who don't like maybe one of the three, right?
Uh-huh.
So to me, it was very interesting to see people who were really into true crime, but they don't really know much about wrestling or grindcore or people that were there just for wrestling. People know that those things for sure, but I think, these are very, very deep into the subculture of obscure wrestlers and obscure, you know, gore grind and death metal. So it's a little less accessible to people.
All right.
But yeah, it was really good to expose people to all of those different kind of subgenres.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a few people that showed up that liked everything. So that was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Yeah, like it was my first time to meet any of the listeners. They were happy to see me, and that made me so happy. And I was so glad that few people who showed up to my shop bought your stuff and metal stuff. And it was really cool to see.
I'm very happy to see people be so open-minded to try some things that they maybe weren't familiar with. So, and especially with Naru's shop being very, very underground death metal, gore grind, it was very cool to see some people kind of, you know, try it out and buy something or talk to me a little bit about 90s wrestling or metal. So it was cool. And I definitely think your fans that came to meet you for the first time were very enthusiastic about the show and, you know, meeting you. So that was really cool to see how excited they were and then how excited it made you. So it was a very nice energy in the room.
Oh, yeah. It was my first time to be asked for a, like, handshake.
Yeah.
And the girl said, oh, I'm never gonna wash my hands again. Wow, am I hearing it? Wow.
That's great for these sort of events are good for all of us or anyone who puts time and effort into being creative, because mm-hmm. when you meet fans who appreciate what you do, you leave those sort of events feeling kind of like rejuvenated, like, you know, yeah. what, I have new yeah. ideas now, or I want to make a new episode, or uh-huh. I want to make a new shirt design, or I want to make another event. So
yeah.
it's really good for everyone to feel kind of like there's meaning behind what they put yeah. so much of their effort into, you
right
know?
That's so true, because when I was doing it, like, I was shy, I didn't show my face, and because I was a little afraid, like, in Japan, like, how can people like true crime, because it's different from Japan and America. Everybody loves true crime, they were open right. about it, but in Japan, not so much, like we talked about last time. So, but this meeting my listeners made me feel that I'm doing the right thing, like yeah. I can keep on doing this, people are good with it. Like,
yeah,
made me so confident, and yeah.
I think there's definitely an audience for true crime anywhere, that in the world there will be people that are interested in it. But uh-huh. I think maybe, and I could be completely wrong, but in America, maybe more people like to show off that they're really into this sort of subculture. And maybe in Japan, the Japanese listeners, it's more of like a secret,
oh yeah,
or not secret relationship, but maybe like a special private bonding relationship between you and that person. So they listen to it,
right.
but they don't share it with others around them, that, oh, this is a show that I'm really into, or
mm-mm.
you know, where in the States, maybe fans will be more willing to show off that what
yeah.
they're really, that they really like this thing, you know.
Yeah, I feel that too. Mm-hmm.
But it was great, and I think we've already discussed doing another pop-up shop eventually
mm-hmm.
Together, because yeah, it was great to meet new people. I got to meet many of your followers, and yeah, I think
yeah.
it'd be really cool to do another event, so we'll get some new designs going, and
yeah, let's
think
do
of a new
more.
Location to do it, but hopefully we can meet more of your fans, and yeah, I look
yeah.
forward to speaking to everyone more about cases they've heard me talk
mm-hmm.
about on the show, or ask me any questions they have about Chicago or the States.
Right. yeah. Feel very creative too this year. So we're going to do something fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I've already seen my calendar for the year is starting to fill up quickly. I feel very happy that there's so many cool events that I will be a part of. And
okay,
planning.
Like you playing shows?
Yeah, my bands are going to be playing a lot of shows.
Oh.
And now that it's easier to leave Japan with the borders being open, I have ideas to travel and visit
yeah.
friends. So
oh, cool.
Feels like a good special year. As a
yeah, plan. That's great. Okay. So let's move on to the true crime case.
Yeah.
I think the most talked about topic in true crime scenes right now is the Idaho University students case. It's terrifying that four young students got murdered just in 30 minutes or so. You know about this, right?
Yeah, I read about it a little bit when it happened, and when the
it
police
in...
were still looking for a suspect.
Right. Yeah. And they arrested the suspect. I can't remember. Like the 2nd January or something.
Right. So they caught the person not so long
yeah.
after the event happened.
And yeah, it happened in November.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a month.
Which
and
to
a little
me, I feel is a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, really?
I feel like that's very quick for them to investigate the crime and then find the person, especially for
so.
A crime
I
like this.
I thought the case was like 4 students, young, murdered like off campus.
Yeah.
It's not a very rural area or anything. And we have security cameras and phones and
sure,
things,
sure.
but it took... I thought it took a long time,
a long time.
The suspect was living in like the other side of America, so I guess America
is right. And
too
I guess I forget that, you know, CCTV and cameras
mm-hmm.
now, if you commit a crime like this, it's harder to get away with it. Whereas if you did this murder 10 years ago and it was still not solved, it's harder to get to the point where someone gets arrested because footage is grainy and a lot of security cameras don't work and things like that. But I guess as we see now, if you do a murder like this in today's society, you need to cover your tracks really, really, really well to be able to get away with it.
Right. Yeah. All four victims were out drinking some hours before the incident, but I don't think they were that hammered. So my question is, why no one could escape when the suspect Brian Kohlberger started killing and just all dead?
Yeah.
I need to know more details.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know how he can just one person kill people, that many people, and be outnumbered.
Right.
But I think if they were out drinking and then they fell asleep, you know, I've fallen asleep drunk before, and it's a very heavy sleep, so you don't wake up as
when somebody beside you is being stabbed.
Maybe, but maybe this person was so quick and frenzied that he was killing them. He was hitting them in the right spots where they were just dead immediately. So he might have just gone in there knowing that he had to do it fast, and he just took care of the job. But I don't know. And then what do you do in that situation? Even if there's four people and one person has a knife, if that one person is so just full of rage and intent, maybe that one person can out struggle or out power four other people. I don't know. I think that's one thing that the police were questioning, is just how was this one person able to do this?
What's the reason? Like, why he had to be mad at them? I don't know.
Right. And it might just be, as crazy as it sounds, just a random act of violence. Just, he had no reason to target these people. They were just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I think we were discussing this at the pop-up shop, either between me and you or between one of your listener. Yes.
The Tanaka-san is the shop owner. Tanaka Shoten, Death Metal.
There was a conversation we had at the pop-up about how the difference between a lot of Japanese crimes.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yes.
In crime American of passion. Crimes,
yeah, where you see a lot of violence here with, you know, a mother will kill her child, or a husband will kill his family, or someone will kill a ex-girlfriend. Or there's a lot of crime of passion, and these people are connected somehow. You know, they had a relationship where a lot of crimes that you see in America are just random. It's just you walk into a shopping mall and you kill a bunch of people that you don't know. Or you follow some people home that were out drinking and you kill all of them. You don't know these people at all. It's just random. And that seems to be a lot of the difference that I see in the stories between the what happens in Japan as opposed to in the States. Is just, one is these relationships that have become strained and finally someone snaps, and then one is just random killing.
Yeah, random killing. So this Brian guy, clearly something was wrong with him, but this guy was teaching criminal justice at the Washington State University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has diploma for criminal justice and was teaching. And so his students were complaining the police missed him and let that guy teach and be around the student for a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he, to be able to teach and have a regular job, he must have been able to hide his real intentions to society. So he was able to get up for work every day, say hello to his coworkers, say hello to his students, And he was able to mask himself from everybody. And then probably when he came home and he was by himself is when he was, you know, his true self. So he was able to really hide from everyone what kind of person he really was. So the police would never be able to think anything was wrong if every day you go to work on time, you don't cause any problems. Why would the police be suspicious of anything?
But it's difficult.
It is. It is. And I don't know if maybe his work and his interests made him want to experience what he was studying. So all these times he's reading about criminals and
perfect crime, how to get away with it.
Maybe to him he became so interested in this that he wanted to experience it for himself, and maybe he could be a smart criminal. And obviously he wasn't, but it's scary.
Yeah,
so now he's in jail, I assume.
Yeah, he's arrested, but he's denying what he did, I think.
So how were they able to
identify
track him? Was it through police cameras or
CCTV caught the side of his car, white Hyundai, and that was tracked to. He was found at his parents' place in Pennsylvania.
Wow. So did his parents know that he was hiding, or
right? That's what I want to know. His students said that his attitude changed before the killing and after the killing. He was famous for being pretty strict about grading student assignments, but after the killing, he just gave everyone 100 points, like
wow,
perfect points. Just he was out of his mind wasn't there. I know.
Well, of course. I think anyone who goes and kills 4 people right afterwards, I would assume that you'll never be the same as you were before that crime, right?
No.
I think he did it, and then that was it for his sanity. He's just gone completely. But I'm interested to see what his lawyers will try to argue for him, either insanity or how they will try to defend his actions. I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. We'll keep eyes on this case.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you about the Japanese case that happened last month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 family members were killed in Hanno City in Saitama on Christmas Day. So I immediately thought about the Idaho students case when I heard this news. At that time in December, the Idaho suspect wasn't arrested yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was still on my mind. So Hanno City is located in Saitama Prefecture. On Christmas Day last year, which was just a month ago, 3 family members were annihilated at their home. Unlike the Idaho case, the suspect was arrested quickly. Surprisingly, the killer lived just 50 meters from the victim's home. So it's like 150 feet. The culprit was a guy who was living right behind them. The victims were William Ross Bishop Jr., a 69-year-old American man, his wife Izumi Morita, 68, and their 32-year-old daughter, Megumi Sofiana Morita. So an American guy came to Japan and married a Japanese woman and had a daughter. Did you know about this?
I heard a little bit about it. And the first thing, obviously, was a lot of shock, because that's something you don't really hear much about happening.
No.
So, and then as I started to hear a little bit more about the victim, it became even more rare, you know, the American expat and family murdered. It was a grisly murder from what I've read.
Yeah.
Basically by their neighbor.
And
on Christmas, it was a very, very, very shocking thing to see on the news.
Yes. The bishop was an emeritus member of Temple University. Chiekato, who worked with the bishop, said he greatly understood the cultures of the United States and Japan and deeply cared about the future of Japan and its people. The daughter Sofiana was also successful. She worked at an advertising agency in Tokyo. There was an article about her work on the internet there. She says she enjoys working with everyone at the company. She has worked with a big company like Spotify as well. By reading the article, she's creative, positive, and not afraid of challenges and pushing the limit. She was doing great with the people around her and at her job. She also wrote on her social media that, quote, "Life is full of things to do, but family always comes first. I love you guys to death," end quote. Neighbors also say that the family was very nice and friendly. Sofiana lived in Tokyo by herself, but she was back at her parents' house in Saitama for Christmas. On Christmas morning, Bishop, his wife Izumi, and their daughter Sofiana, all three were found dead outside the residence with multiple wounds. The deceased had blunt trauma injuries, including to the head and neck. The police received several emergency calls around 7:15 a.m., reporting that a man had been beaten. Officers found the three upon reaching the scene at about 7:30 a.m. There was also a fire at the property that was put out after around 1.5 hours. As kerosene was discovered at the scene, the police think the suspect intentionally started the fire. According to investigative sources, the security camera on the property captured footage of a man hitting a person. The man on the video was allegedly 40-year-old Jun Saito, who lived just 50 meters from the victim's house. Shortly after, the police entered Saito's house and found him barricaded in the room. The police confiscated an axe, among other items, from his home. Later, DNA from blood on his clothing matches that of three victims. However, Saito is still denying killing them. "I did not do it. I have no recollection," was quoted and saying recently. But yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible, terrible.
So I'm going to talk about Saito guy. Saito was living alone in the two-stories house. Saito's 71-year-old father, who lives in Nagano Prefecture, said he cannot process what happened, that it is like a nightmare. Since splitting with his wife, the father has not had contact with Saito for around 20 years. A neighbor man in his 30s said Saito had almost no connection in the neighborhood and could not think how he and the three victims were linked. But actually, Saito was previously arrested on suspicion of scratching Bishop's car, but was not prosecuted. It costed Bishop ¥1,000,000 to repair, but he just wrote the letter to warn Saito and did not make him pay compensation. Because Saito doesn't talk about the motivation why he had to kill the Bishop family, the motivation is unknown. Saito has grudge towards the family, maybe in a very selfish way, for no reason, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just not nice towards this family for years.
It could be anything, you know, like we don't know what their relationship was, or the suspect that killed them, he could have just created this thing in his mind that these people are out to get me, they're accusing me of these things, they're my enemy. He could have just made this whole fabrication in his mind about why they were his enemy, undiagnosed mental disease. Could be some sort of racism. It could be anything. that could have triggered it, or it could have just been like the case in America where they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. It could have been any family. They just happened to be the first people right. that he saw when he snapped. But I don't know.
But I think he had something in his mind towards this family. But I don't think it's rational. I don't think so either. Rational reason. But somehow he didn't like this family.
Sure. And yeah.
But I don't see no reason because the family seems so nice. Everybody.
Sure.
There's nice things about them.
Could have been anything. He thought they maybe were too loud in the neighborhood, or he doesn't like their car. He was jealous of their car.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been anything that could have caused him to make this story in his head that he had to get rid of his enemies, you know. So if they were living close to each other for years, it could have been building for a long time. And also to happen on Christmas, you know, the holidays for some people are a special time, but for a lot of people, the holidays are very depressing. It's like the darkest time of the year, you know? Especially if you're not close to your family.
He was completely alone, living by himself.
So if he's living next to these people who he sees them happy, mom, dad, daughter, family, everyone's so happy, the perfect life. For him, it might have been jealousy. He wanted a perfect life. He wanted a family. His father was never there for him. It was all these feelings of rage and jealousy that finally it just snapped. And especially during Christmas when people tend to feel at their lowest and they commit suicide and they're depressed.
The suicide rate raises on Christmas, right?
It does. It does, because there's all of this expectation from society where let's be happy. Let's enjoy time with the family. I don't know. Some people hate their moms and dads. Some people hate their family. Some people don't have a family. So there's too much of this pressure from society for Christmas to be a good time, and for a lot of people it's not. So I don't know. To me, I feel hearing the story, it's just the time of year and that relationship and with the neighbors and the person that it sounds like he was. It was just a mix of all of these things at the same time. It happened. So it's still really depressing.
It really is. I want to know when he turned out this way. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about when he was young.
Yes.
Saito was a relatively normal kid. He played football pretty well and was even popular at the elementary school. He went to the private junior high school first, but after a year, he moved to a public school because he was bullied. But he told his father that he didn't like to live in the dorm. Saito has an older sister. The family of four seemed to live a happy life together, but 23 years ago, his parents separated. The father moved out and started a new life with a new woman and hadn't seen his son not even once after that. After graduating from university, Saito dreamed of becoming a movie director and did shoot an independent movie. His 16-minute movie, Tegami, The Letter, was played at the Sendai Short Film Festival in 2005 and even won a prize. You know, the Japanese movie Drive My Car won Academy Award for the Best International Film last year. The director Ryusuke Hamaguchi's movie was also played at the same short film festival. Around 2007, Saito shot another film called Gift, but during the editing process, he just vanished. The staff tried to contact him, but have yet to hear back. Just gone. Saito started to be violent with his sister and mother. Eventually, his sister and mother left the house to avoid his violence. Neighbors noticed Saito sometimes going to part-time jobs, but he mostly stayed at home alone. So, he was once a director.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he was working towards having a goal and trying his best, but maybe just pressure and just overcame him. And you can see from almost 15, 20 years ago that he was dealing with a lot of just pressure and a lot of feelings. So maybe he wasn't a complete monster that did it out of a love of killing, but just someone that had a rough life and longed for their...
Yeah, and somehow he got mentally ill, but that's caused him be violent, maybe. But his mother and sister left him, so he was just...
He just needed somebody, you know.
He had no help.
No. Someone dealing with a lot of mental instability, and anyone, a girlfriend, a wife, a friend, a family member, I think if he just had one person, maybe this could have been avoided.
Yeah, but it's almost impossible to know if our neighbors are like that or not.
Of course.
I mean, nobody, they don't come out.
Nobody knows, you know, and especially, now, this was in Saitama, so I assume there was more space, it was more spaced out than, you know, living in central Tokyo, but... You know, there's 30 million people here. The apartment walls are thin. They're very close to each other. People don't have enough personal space. You're just crammed on each other all the time. And, you know, there's a lot of just anger and like pent up aggression, I feel, everywhere in every neighborhood. People are just, you never know if your neighbor one day will snap and yell at you, complain about you to the property management, or, you know, kill you, or, you know, steal something from your house. Like, it could be anything, but the way that how the city feels at times, it's really sad, but I'm surprised that there isn't more crime between neighbors.
It was terrible, annihilating story.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and again, you know, these two cases are just really grisly because I don't want to say that being murdered with a gun is better than, you know, because they're both bad. You're taking the life of someone. These are both the worst thing you can do. But these two stories stuck out really...
painful.
It stuck out for me because it was like in the one case in Saitama, I believe the American male was almost beheaded, right?
Yeah. Oh, and really?
I thought I read that.
He was hammered.
So there was a lot of trauma to the face and the neck area. So, and when you see that goes beyond just killing. That's like overkill. That's like gruesome. It's a barbaric way to take a life,
and that was recorded on CCTV in Japan. Yes. The video is never going to be out, but if it was Mexico, maybe the video is already out.
Right. I think there will be, that video will most likely be kept under wraps forever. No one will ever see that footage.
No.
And for the best, you know, to protect like the families and their privacy, you know, dignity. You don't want to show that sort of thing. But again, it's a really shocking case. The two cases are very shocking.
Yes.
So people should get more locks on their doors and cameras in their house and assume that when you get home that you're not entirely safe. So have to find ways to lock
I've heard there's a way you can blur your house on Google Map. To hide your, because maybe sometimes like the burglars are looking at Google Maps and find the way to get in the house.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Google Maps will show you
So clearly.
clearly your front door, how many
Yeah.
windows you have, where the back door, like if it gives away too much information.
Yeah, so if you want to blur the house, like you can do that. You can
Yeah.
ask, report Google to do it, I think.
But in this case, unfortunately, the person was a neighbor, so
Neighbors,
I
yeah,
assume
he will.
he knew every part of that house and their routine.
True. Yeah, so that was the case.
Yeah, two very different but also very similar cases, I'd say, for the two murderers and their victims of some similarities between the two, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So please find us on Twitter and Instagram. Do you have a shows coming up to promote?
I'm, like I said, this year is starting to fill up very quickly. If anyone is interested in death metal, they could check out my bands. I sing in the band Mortify, and I sing in a band called Seeping Protoplasm. So
Yeah,
if you
the
want.
drummer of the Sapien, he bought my
Oh,
mug
yes.
cup.
Yeah. So again, if you're interested in that sort of music, definitely feel free to check it out online, or if you live in Japan, come see us play.
Yes,
Um,
please.
and if you're interested in pro wrestling, Japanese pro wrestling especially, my shop is on Instagram. So it's dismantle_chiba. And I always have wrestling goods. And I think me and you are discussing doing some more pop-up shops. So
Yes.
if anyone has enjoyed these English episodes, feel free to say hello next time we do a shop. If you have any questions for me, I would love to meet more of the fans here.
Yeah, I'd love to make more true crime friends too, so please.
Yeah, I would love to talk all things crime and horror, and so please come and say
Yeah.
hello and let's talk crime and tell me about
Yeah.
your favorite crime stories of the past years. I would love to hear about
Yeah, me too.
it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you so much. Stay safe, everyone.
Please lock your windows.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.